A couple of other things I need to tell you about before we go to our lesson. Just a reminder that this evening is Fifth Sunday Singing over at Caution Street. Hope to see you over there as we gather together with brethren from around the area and do sing. Also, Tim Woodfin, he was riding his bicycle home, and a fellow wasn't paying attention in his car and kind of swerved on the road, and Tim swerved over, tried to jump the curb, so to speak, to get out of the guy's way, and ended up flipping over and banged his head, got a knot on his head, and kind of feeling kind of wheezy and all this morning. So please add Tim to your prayer list to keep him in prayer for that. We have been talking about and looking at the topic of the Christian atheist, the person who believes in God but yet doesn't really live their life as if they really believe in God. In other words, you look at what's going on in their life, and it's either, as we've seen in our study, it's things that the person is doing, the way that they're living, that just really denies that they're a Christian at all. Or sometimes it's people who are trying to live their life for God, but yet something is in the way. There's something there that they want to have a better relationship, but there's an obstacle. There's some kind of problem, something that is keeping them from really living their life in relationship with God the way that God wants to have that relationship. And this morning, we're going to be looking at folks that believe in God, but that don't think that they really can change. You see? And this is a situation where, you know, people who have struggles, they have, maybe it's a sin problem, or maybe it's just issues that are going on in their lives and things that they're struggling with, and they've tried so hard to change those things, but for whatever reason can't seem to overcome them, and so they've gotten to the point where they're convinced that they can't change at all. And that causes problems in their relationship with God. So as we look at this topic, we start out with the first step in being able to overcome this is that what we've got to do is identify the lie. Okay? In other words, we need to ask ourselves a couple of questions. First one is, what's the problem? Okay? What am I really struggling with? What's really going on in my life? What's the issue that I'm really having to face? Is there some kind of a behavior that I have, or maybe it's an addiction, it could be something like that I just can't seem to overcome in my life? What is it that's happening? Maybe it may be a drug problem. A lot of people struggle with drugs, and I'm not necessarily talking about illegal drugs, but it may just be medications and stuff that we just feel like, you know, we're stuck on those things and we can't get off, and so this is the rest of my life, this is what I'm going to have to face. It may be a drinking problem, alcohol problem that a person has. It could be, maybe, a gambling problem. See? God win that lottery so that eventually, if I win that lottery, then life would be good. It could be a problem perhaps with overeating. I'm here to tell you this is a problem that I have struggled with. You see? I kind of like that, you know, this picture was me, you know, having a balanced diet, and that's kind of what I felt like a balanced diet was. But I'm here to tell you this morning that if you struggle with something like that, like I've done, you can change. See, you can overcome it. We'll talk more about that specifically in just a minute. Maybe it's a spending problem. You know, you got some money, you got to spend it. Maybe you don't have the money, but you're going to spend it anyway. And so the debt is just piling up and piling up and piling it up, you see. Maybe that's the issue. It could be a problem with anxiety and stress and just worrying too much. Is that a situation, perhaps, maybe, that you struggle with in your life that causes problems not only with other people but with your relationship with God? Maybe you're a workaholic, rather. See, that person that just is constantly working all the time, that's where you find your identity in your life, is constantly working and so forth. Or maybe you're on the other end of the spectrum, maybe you're just lazy. You see, you don't want to do much of anything. Or perhaps maybe it's a person who has a problem dealing with anger. And anger problems, anger issues, we know just kind of drives people away from us and so forth. The point is that, you know, there's all kinds of different issues and problems that people struggle with and that we struggle with. I mean, let's be honest. We struggle with this kind of stuff in our life. But the problem is that you try to stop those things, but you found that it just doesn't seem to be any use. Maybe you've talked to somebody. Maybe you've gone to some counseling, or maybe talked to your friends and, you know, gotten advice on how to do this and so forth. Maybe you've read up on everything there is to read up on the topic of how to overcome that problem, but it just doesn't seem to work. No matter how hard you tried, you can't seem to overcome it. Or maybe you just tried to stop cold turkey. You say, I'm just not going to do it anymore. I quit. That's it. And I've heard people say many times, I don't have a problem, for instance, stopping smoking. You know, I quit smoking anytime I want to. In fact, I've stopped smoking about 25 times. You say, well, you haven't really stopped. You know, you just stopped for a little while and then you start again. You say, and so whatever the issue is, whatever the problem, it becomes this situation where all of your efforts have failed. No matter how hard you try, no matter what you've done, it just doesn't seem to work, and so you feel like you just quit. You resign yourself to that that's the way it's going to be. I know with my struggle that I've had with weight, that's where I had gotten over. Back several months ago, I had gotten to the point where I just gave up. Cindy and I used to go to the gym every morning, Monday through Friday. We'd get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. We'd eat breakfast. We'd get ourselves ready. We'd be at the gym at 5 o'clock in the morning when it opened up. And we did an hour-long workout every morning, Monday through Friday. I started losing some weight, started getting in better shape, and Thanksgiving came along. We actually did that for about a little over a year and a half. The following Thanksgiving came along. You know, on our second year around with this thing, we're doing pretty well with it. And over that weekend, I gained back everything that I had lost in that whole time. You talking about discouraged? That was it. That was the point where I said, forget it. And I told her, I said, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm tired all day long because I'm getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm doing all this. It's ridiculous. I'm not making any progress. I quit. And that's where I was. And my guess is that for a lot of these different issues, whatever the issue is for you, that you've been there before. You say, you just have concluded, I can't change. And that's just the way I am. And that's the point where I think a lot of people get. When they're struggling with whatever the issue is that they can't seem to overcome, they resign themselves to, this is where I'm at, this is where I'm always going to be, I can't change, that's just the way I am. Okay. If that's where you are, then this is my answer to you. Your God is too small. Your God is too small. If you have given up, if you have come to the point of dealing with whatever it is you're dealing with, and you quit, and you've given up, and you've resigned yourself to that's the way it is, and that's the way you are, and you're just going to have to live with it, then your God is way too small. See? God is the only I am being spoken of in the Bible. In fact, when Moses asked God what his name was, he said, if the people ask me what your name is, what should I tell them? God said, I am who I am. And God created you and I as becomers, not as I amers. He takes us and accepts us wherever we are. When we come to Him, and it doesn't matter where we have been or what we have done or what's going on in our life, God accepts us where we are.
Amen.
But He doesn't want us to stay where we are.
Amen.
You see? He calls upon us to change and to become more like His Son Jesus. You see? And so for any of us to look at ourselves and say, that's it, I quit, I know this is a bad thing for me, but I just can't change, that's just the way I am, that's wrong. God did not create us as quitters. He created us as becomers. And He calls upon us and challenges us to change our lives constantly to conform to the image of His Son. So if you're at a point in dealing with whatever it is you're dealing with, and you've gotten to the point where you quit, and you just say, that's just the way I am, then you need to take another look at your God. Because He is big enough to help you to overcome whatever it is you are dealing with. Okay? Whatever it is. In the text that was read for us as we began this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, take a look first at verses 3 and 4. Look at it again, and what is Paul really saying here? He says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. You see? Divine power to demolish strongholds. So it's God's power. And God is more powerful than anything in this whole universe. Amen? Can I get at least one on that? In fact, you see, He's the one who created the universe. So He's more powerful than what He created, right?
Amen.
Make sense?
Yeah.
Everybody's head should be going like this. Okay? Alright? Okay, so He has divine power. So whatever you can come up with, or whatever Satan comes up with to tackle you and to wage war against you, God has power that can overcome that. That's how big our God is. Okay? Amen. You follow me? And His power that He has is able to allow us and help us to demolish whatever stronghold Satan is putting around us. God's power can demolish anything that stands in the way between us and Him. And from us being what God wants us to be. Whatever that stronghold is that has you captive, God's power can destroy it if you will learn to trust in Him. Take that problem, that issue, whatever it is, to Him and let Him handle it for you. You see? So in order to do that, what do we have to do? We've got to can the excuses. Okay? Quit making excuses. Get rid of them. Okay? They really don't do any good. Before God can really work His power in your life, you got to get rid of all the excuses. Because as long as you keep making excuses, and as long as you keep falling back on, that's just the way I am, then God's power is not going to work in your life to tear down and demolish those strongholds. So we got to be able to get rid of the excuses. When I finally came to the point back a couple of months ago where I said, okay, no more excuses. I cannot keep going the way I'm going. I mean, I'm just admitting to you, I just got to the point where I was totally uncomfortable wearing anything that I had. And I was uncomfortable just getting out of my car. What it took me to be able to do that. Because I've got way too much weight on me. I'm way overweight. I'm way out of shape. I can't keep doing this. And I quit making excuses. I'm here to tell you this morning that over the last couple of months I've lost 15 pounds. And I'm still going. Still going. Okay. So I am not a just the way I am person anymore when it comes to my weight. And here's a point that I don't want you to miss. You see, I'm not that kind of a person on most everything else that I deal with in life. But the weight stronghold, that eating stronghold, was one that Satan was really, he had me in. You see? And I didn't have a problem seeing, you know, all of these things I'm telling you this morning with all kinds of other issues. Like, hey, that's not a problem for me. But this one has been a problem. It's been a really tough stronghold in my life. But until I got to the point where I quit making excuses and said, no, enough is enough. My God is bigger than that, and I took this problem specifically to Him. And He started taking over. Okay? And He started helping me change the things that I eat, my eating habits, and all those kind of things. And that's what's made the difference. Okay? My God is a whole lot bigger than that stronghold. And He's bigger than any stronghold that you might be struggling with in your life. You see, too often we find ourselves kind of like the lame man at the pool in John chapter 5. Jesus came and said, do you want to be healed? And by the way, a little plug in, you know, on this. On our Sunday morning Bible study, we're talking about this very issue right now. You say, so I encourage you, if you're not coming to Sunday morning Bible class, come and be with us. But too often we find ourselves like this lame man. When Jesus asked him that question, do you want to get well? He responded by making excuses and blaming others. It wasn't his fault that he was in the situation he was in. It was everybody else's fault. No one would help him. No one would take care of him and so forth. And that's, I think, what was happening is, like him, we focus on all the reasons why we can't be healed, why we can't get over this particular problem. You see? We make excuses. And none of those excuses are any good. But those excuses will keep us from allowing God's divine power to demolish whatever the stronghold is in our life. You see? So we've got to get rid of those excuses. Because when we make excuses, then we're insulting God's power. We're saying, God, I know you're God, but you don't have enough power to overcome this problem or my problem. I know you can overcome other people's problems, but you can't overcome ours. How do you think God feels about that? You see, when we tell him he doesn't have enough power to overcome whatever the issue or problem is that we struggle with in our life. Okay. Go back to 2 Corinthians, verse 5, chapter 10. We demolish, he says, we demolish the arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And then look at this part. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You see, the real issue is, as we've talked about many times before, it's about spiritual warfare. And spiritual warfare is mostly about a battle for the mind. He who controls the thinking controls the behavior. And so Satan sets himself up and sets a stronghold around our thinking about any particular issue or problem that we struggle with in our life. And as long as he controls our thinking, then he holds us captive. And so what we have to do is, as he says here, we've got to take every thought captive. Just kind of round those thoughts up, you see, and take them captive so that they can no longer hold you in that stronghold. You see? In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, Paul there tells us how we go about doing that. You see? Basically, what's happening here, he says, look, don't behave like the world behaves. Don't conform to the patterns of this world any longer, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You change your behavior by changing the way you think.
Amen.
You see? And so, again, we have to stop making the excuses, and we've got to change the way we think about these things. When we start thinking differently, see, then we're going to do differently. Basically, what we've got to do is get rid of the stinking thinking. Okay? Because stinking thinking is what oftentimes serves to hold us in that stronghold and hold us in bondage to whatever the issue or the problem is that we struggle with. You see? So it's a matter of changing the way we think. And the first step in that is thinking and realizing and knowing in your heart that you have a God who can overcome whatever it is you're struggling with. And you take that to him. Stop trying to do it on your own. And give it to him.
Amen.
It's through his power that we can overcome that. Change your behavior by changing your thinking. It's what we think about the strongholds. I can't do it. I'm not strong enough. I've tried and tried and tried. I've tried everything I know what to do. And I can't. How many of you ever said those kind of things? You see? No matter what I try, it's not good enough. I can't seem to overcome this. I give up. You got to change the way you think. You see? As long as you think you can't, then you can't. If you lie down and just say, I can't do this, then you're going to stay right where you are with whatever the problem is. You say, so as long as you think you can't do it, then you can't do it. But when you begin to think differently and realize that, yes, God can do it, you say, then things will begin to change for you. Paul tells us that we can do how much?
All
things. Through Christ who gives us strength. You see? And that all things includes whatever the issue, whatever the struggle, whatever the problem is, that stronghold that Satan might have you bound up in, that's included in all things. If it's not, then somebody needs to tell me why. Okay? So in other words, it's not, I can do all things except this one through Christ who gives me strength. But yet, that's so often how we practice, isn't it? He doesn't say all things except my problem. He says all things, period. The issue and the question is, do you believe that? You say. And again, I point out to you, you might believe that in most things in your life, and it's not a problem, but in this one thing, like with me, with my eating and my weight, then you know it up here, but in practice, you're not really believing it. So until you change your thinking and come to the point where you're convinced in your heart of hearts that it really does mean all things, you say, then you're not going to be able to overcome whatever that problem or issue is. The third thing, the last thing that we need to do in order to allow that change to take place and allow God to really work in us and change our lives, is we got to cut the ties. Okay? And what do we mean by that? Well, basically, you know, we go back and we look at something else that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. He says, look, the people you hang around with, they can cause any of some problems here. Bad company corrupts good character. So sometimes it's a matter of us going back and looking at, okay, wait a minute, who am I hanging out with and where are the places that I'm going that may be sabotaging my efforts to change? I mean, I have to really take a good hard look at it and go, you know, one of my reasons why I'm having such a hard time losing this weight, because I love, Mary, thank you for Hardee's Biscuits. I love Hardee's Biscuits. Okay? I mean, they are, without a doubt, in my mind, the best biscuits in the world. Okay? Put a little bit of piece of sausage on there with some cheese. I leave the house in the morning and I've already had breakfast. Okay? Keep going. I think that breakfast is going to last me very long this morning. I think I'll stop by Hardee's and get me a sausage and cheese. Nice. Nice. So good. And I don't know what the issue is for you. I don't know what it is that draws you. You know, it's like those Krispy Kreme donuts I told you about before, you know? And it's that there's that draw. They're so good. And so, you know what I had to do? I stopped going to Hardee's. Sorry, Mary. Okay? I haven't been to a Hardee's for breakfast for a sausage biscuit in probably at least the last 2 months. Okay. That's when I started losing the weight. I'm not saying it's all Hardee's fault here, okay? That's not my point. But my point is that's one of the areas of my life that I looked at and said, look, I got to quit going there because it's not helping me any. You see, I can say all I want to, I need to lose weight, but as long as I keep going every morning to Hardee's and getting a biscuit, that's not going to happen. You see? And so I had to go stop hanging out at that place, and sometimes it's a matter of the people that you hang out with. You see? You know, it's a matter of finding new people, new friends. So in other words, if you got a drinking problem, then quit hanging out with those people who drink. And quit going to the bars or the places, you know, that sell alcohol. Just quit going there. Because as long as you keep doing that, what's going to happen? You're just going to keep, same thing is going to keep happening, you see? So sometimes it's a matter of I just got to quit going there. I got to quit hanging out with these people. You know, you got that problem with the gambling? You know, you love to buy those lottery tickets? Pay at the pump. Don't go inside where they got all the lottery tickets hanging over the register and they're right there in your face when you go in to pay. Pay at the pump and you don't have to go in and face the lottery tickets. Change what you're doing. Change where you're going. Change where you're hanging out. You're trying to lose weight like I was. Stop hanging out with the friends who are making good desserts all the time. You know? Find new friends. Find new people to be with. Find new places to go. You see? If you're dating someone, you know, and that person is, you know, hey, they're pressuring you to get involved in sex and so forth, you need to ditch that person.
Amen.
You see?
All
you need to ditch that person. Get rid of them. They're not doing you any good.
Amen.
You see? So we've got to change the people that we hang out with and the places that we go. Find new friends. Find new places to go. Because if whatever the issue is, if it's causing problems between you and other people, or it's causing problems between you and God, then it's not good for you. Get rid of it. Stop hanging out with those people. They're not helping you in your relationship with God. Stop hanging out with those people. Stop going to those places because they're not helping you in your relationship with other people. We've got to cut the ties. See? Einstein said this. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. As long as we keep going to the same places and doing the same things with the same people, the results are going to be exactly the same. When you start doing something different with different people in different places, then the result is going to be different. You want to overcome that stronghold? You want to demolish? You want to tear it down? Do something different. Do something different. Colossians chapter 1, verse 29, the Apostle Paul said this: to this end I labor, struggling with all. Help me out here. With all. With all.
His.
Thank you. With all His energy. You see? It's not our energy. Ours doesn't work. Okay? And the reason it doesn't work is because we're fighting a spiritual enemy. And we're physical beings. So we need His spiritual energy.
Amen.
You see? And that spiritual energy works powerfully in us when we allow it to. Stop relying on your power and to change your life and start relying on God. Plug into His power and His energy and see then what God will do with you. I don't know what issue you have in your life. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what you are struggling with in your life. But most likely, everybody in here is struggling with something. Just be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. Whatever your issue is, whatever your struggle is, stop trying to deal with it on your own. Stop making excuses. And start relying on God's power. Change the people you hang out with, the places you go, and start relying on God's power to help you to be what He wants you to be.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. Then, your relationship with God will change enormously. Okay? And that's what this is really all about. Now, maybe something that I said this morning is maybe hit a nerve or caused you to really think about some things in your life. Hopefully it has. And you realize that, okay, this is going on. I need some help. I need some encouragement or some guidance or whatever it might be. And that's what we want to help you with. There may be someone here this morning who's not yet given their life to Christ, and you're ready to do that. You need to know that you can do that right now this morning. If you're not a Christian, but you're ready to become one, you need to call upon Jesus as your Lord. You believe that He is. Call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from God. And have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now this morning. We're here to help you with whatever it is that you need, whatever needs to be changed in your life, so that you can become more like Jesus. That's what we want to do. We're going to stand together and sing a song. The Lord's invitation is open to you. Let's stand together.